Welcome back to Guidance Light, everyone. To those of you who are new to this channel, welcome. And to those of you who are returning, it's always an honor and a pleasure for me to be able to help spread God's word with you. As we continue down this path for the last couple episodes, we continually touch on topics that I feel paint what I truly feel paints a bigger picture. Without realizing it, I believe that God is turning this episode and the previous two into somewhat of a small series, one where he is teaching us that we don't always have it together, that sometimes we are out of our depths and we lose sight on what God has in store for us. Let's keep going, and in obedience to God, let's read about his word and pray that it touches your heart in some way, that you feel the Holy Spirit to some degree stirring in you and nudging you to learn or act on behalf of God. We understand that God manifests himself within you when all seems like it doesn't make sense. So long as we follow in obedience to God, I personally have come to realize that my understanding on what makes sense doesn't quite measure up to the plans he has in store for us. My name is John, and this is Season 1, Episode 15. Father, the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, the God of my fathers and their fathers, I come to you weary and tired. Lord, I confess that my words too often escape me, Lord. In my duress, Lord, when I seek you and I don't feel you, I too often give in to the feeling of loneliness, and my faith is shaken. Forgive me, Lord, for I often find myself questioning my worthiness in speaking your words. I pray that the message you are giving me reaches the hearts of those who listen so that they may see your glory in the midst of their solitude. I am yours, Lord. I am nothing more than just a servant in this life, for the honor is all yours. Lord, I ask that you task your chalice onto my lips, Lord, so that I may speak your words of life to those who seek to know who you are. Guide my words as a carefully tuned instrument to deliver the notes of your grandeur and love into the lives of all who follow you. In Jesus' name, for he is worthy of our praise, I pray. Amen. Today we start out with a beautiful reminder from an 8-year-old, my daughter. She came to me today and told me, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, do it. Follow God. Follow Jesus. I believe firmly that in our walk with Christ, we are challenged often to be obedient and patient in God's tasks and timing. My daughter approached me during dinner this evening saying that she had a beautiful day. She couldn't stop saying how beautiful of a day she had, and then continued on to tell me on how the Holy Spirit had told her that she would run into a boy that was crying and that she would need to help him find his mother roughly about a week ago. Well, today, during her dismissal at school, she encountered that very boy, and she told me that she had felt drawn in by the Holy Spirit to help him, and out of obedience, she did that and felt the peace and joy that comes from serving God. Praise be his name, for he can use even the smallest of minds for his purpose. What my daughter experienced, I believe, blends well into today's topic. In many ways, because as we look back at these past few episodes, God has had me speak on trends on the seasons of life we all tend to experience. Whether we lose focus on the task God has set out for us or on him entirely, or sometimes we find ourselves in so much pain or so tired or weary from everyday life that we are at a loss of words. In these seasons, we feel an overwhelmingly sense of solitude through it all, as if we are out there facing the world's battles and problems on our own. We lose sight on the purpose God has laid out for us, and we find it hard to be obedient in the middle of it all. And it's okay to feel alone. Solitude is necessary. Someone tell your friend, neighbor, family member, whoever is around you, or even say it out loud. Solitude is necessary. Now, let's dive into the Word of God in the book of Daniel, chapter 2 through chapter 3, in a story with King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he wanted interpreted. In the dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a large statue made of various materials. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. The chest and the arms were made of silver. The belly and thighs were made of bronze. And the legs were made of iron. The feet were partly iron and partly clay. As King Nebuchadnezzar watched, a stone, not cut by human hands, struck the statue on its feet, breaking them and causing the entire statue to collapse and be destroyed. The stone then became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. After the prophet Daniel explained the dream to the king, and the king was pleased, it says in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 46 through 49. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face before Daniel and paid honor to him and commanded that an offering and incense be presented on his behalf. The king told Daniel, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. Because you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king promoted Daniel to a high position and lavished many great gifts on him, including making him ruler over an entire province of Babylon and chief administrator over the advisors of Babylon. Moreover, Daniel requested that the king appoint Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained loyal in the royal court. Sometime after, King Nebuchadnezzar erected a golden statue. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, it reads, "Then a herald proclaimed aloud, 'People of all nations and languages are commanded that whenever you hear the sound of trumpet, the flute, the lyre, the four-string lyre, and the harp playing together along with various instruments, you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that was set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. Anyone who does not fall down and worship is immediately to be thrown into a blazing fire furnace.' Therefore, when all of the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the flute, the lyre, the four-string lyre, the harp playing together along with various instruments, all the people, nations, and languages began to fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." After Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, received word of this proclamation, the three Jewish men refused to worship the golden statue, causing King Nebuchadnezzar to fly into rage and to seize them to bring them before him. The king confronts these three men and asks them if it was true that they were opposed to worshiping him, and threatened them with tossing them into the furnace of fire if they didn't bow down to him and begin to worship him. And it goes on to say in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 15, "Now, if you are ready at this very moment to obey the sound of the trumpet, the flute, the lyre, the four-string lyre, and the harp, and worship the image that I have made, if you do not worship, you will immediately have cast yourselves into the middle of the blazing fire, and what God is there who can deliver you from my power?" What King Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize is that our God is the God of gods. He is a king of kings. His power knows no limit. So there is no power that the king holds that has not been granted to him by God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respond to him by saying in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, "Your Majesty, if it be his will, our God, whom we serve, can deliver us from the blazing fire furnace, and he will deliver us from you. But if not, rest assured, your Majesty, that we won't serve your gods, and we won't worship the golden statue that you have set up." In this moment, These three young men following God were facing the full rage of the king of Babylon face to face. As we continue to read, we must remember that in this situation, in a situation like this, how powerless and alone would you feel? Let's continue reading in verse 19 here. Out of control with rage, Nebuchadnezzar's facial expressions changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he issued orders to his elite guards to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with ropes and throw them into the blazing fire furnace. So the elite guards tied them up, fully clothed, still wearing their robes, tunics, and turbans, and threw them into the blazing fire furnace. Because the king's command was so drastic, since the furnace was blazing hot, its flames killed those who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the blazing fire. Boundly firm with ropes, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the blazing fire furnace. Astonished, King Nebuchadnezzar stood up in terror and asked his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire, bound firmly with ropes?" In reply, they told the king, "Yes, your majesty." Then he says, "Look," he told them, "I see 4 men walking untied and unharmed in the middle of the fire, and the appearance of the 4th resembles a divine being." Then Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing fire furnace. He shouted out to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Servants of the Most High God, come out here. Come out and come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The regional authorities, viceroys, governors, and royal advisors gazed at those men and saw that the fire had no effect on their bodies. Not a hair on their head was singed, their clothes were not burned, and they did not smell a fire. Nebuchadnezzar spoke up and announced, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to deliver his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and were willing to risk their lives in order not to serve or worship any god except their own God. So I decree that people from any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be destroyed and their house reduced to rubble, because there is no other God who can save like this." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a good example of experiencing solitude in the Bible. In the book of Daniel, specifically in the book of Daniel chapter 3, these three young men faced a situation where they were pressured to conform to the king's decree and worship a golden image. When they refused, they were thrown into a fiery furnace as punishment. In this challenging situation, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must have felt solitude as they stood firm in their faith against the overwhelming pressure of the Babylonian king. But because they trusted in God's protection, their solitude didn't mean they felt alone. Their faith was rewarded when God delivered them from the fiery furnace. Their story is a powerful example of how faith can help any of us endure solitude and adversity, trusting that God is present even in our most challenging moments. I ask you guys, how many of us in our current society feel isolated and alone? See, isolation and solitude are tools meant to teach us to trust in God. See, it's the enemy that hates to see you grow closer to God. And he's the one that makes you feel alone in our journey that God is putting you through. This is why, as Christians, it's so important to seek fellowship with other Christians. As we continually learn about the Bible and isolation and solitude, these are something that many people in the Bible have also experienced during their lives. And when you read about it, it's often used by men of God for reflection, for prayer and growth in the relationship with God. See, a lot of people know about Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the desert of Midian after fleeing Egypt, where he lived in solitude as a shepherd. Later, he spent 40 days and nights alone on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from God. Elijah, the prophet, experienced solitude when he fled from Queen Jezebel's wrath and sought refuge in the wilderness. He spent time alone in a cave on Mount Horeb, where God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. And he wouldn't have been able to hear God in that gentle whisper if he was crowded with everything that the world throws at him. He needed that solitude to be able to hear his commands and his voice. And just like him, King David, before becoming king, he experienced solitude while tending sheep as a young shepherd. He also faced periods of isolation while fleeing from King Saul. Even Paul, the apostle, after his conversion, spent time alone in Arabia in Galatians chapter 1, verse 17. Throughout his ministry, he faced imprisonment and periods of isolation, which he used for reflection, prayer, and writing letters to the early Christian communities. And the last example I have is Jesus. Jesus experienced solitude at various points in his ministry. He also spent 40 days fasting and praying alone in the wilderness before beginning his ministry. He often also withdrew to quiet places to pray and reflect. See, it's in our solitude that we have a chance to approach God and to ask for guidance. Someone say, please, I may feel isolated in my problems, but my God is with me, and no devil is going to convince me that I am alone. See, God gives us the gift of solitude, but it is a tool meant for us to grow closer to him, and the devil is coming in and trying to make that tool be something that is negative. All these great men, and even Jesus, our Savior, used their solitude as opportunities to grow closer to God the Father, to seek guidance and find strength for their journeys. So feel free to proclaim it in the name of Jesus. What I feel isn't loneliness, it's my peace. What I feel isn't isolation, it's a walk in Christ. It's one foot after another. I am protected by God on high, and in obedience to God, I will continue to trust in him to deliver me from the fire, for he is the fourth man in the fire with me time after time. For when the Lord our God is with me, I shall feel no pain, for he is my deliverer. Father, I want to stop for just a moment and thank you for the solitude I feel from time to time, and for all the trials that life continually throws at me. I now know that it is a gift that too often we don't realize that we are given to be able to keep our focus on your guidance and to help us find our words that we have lost in you. It is in our solitude, Lord, that we gain our strength in you, God. You deliver us and you give us instructions on how to continue. Lord, help us be more obedient in everything you have us do, Lord. This week, I want you to read into the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 through 15, and reflect on how Jesus, before beginning his ministry, was compelled by the Spirit to fast in isolation and solitude for 40 days. And how in those 40 days he was tempted by Satan. We read in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 through 11 how Jesus faced the temptations and overcame it. In our solitude, whether it's emotional or physical, take time this week to reflect on God's words and pray for guidance and deliverance. For in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Father, see me. See the person that I am. You know my heart, and you know my intent, Lord. Father, I proclaim in Jesus' name that the feeling of isolation and loneliness that I feel will be turned for your good, Lord. Continually guide me down the path like a blind and deaf man walking through the woods. Have me trust in your voice, Lord. I do trust in your words to lead me through that which I cannot see, nor feel, nor hear. It is in the times of silence, Lord, that we now know that your voice stands out above it all. So thank you for granting me the peace and time to reflect on the instructions you have given me. Lord, please grant me the strength and courage to be obedient in all things you will have of me, and protect me from the schemes of the enemy who seeks to tear down that which was meant for you and turn it into misery. For it is you, Lord, our God, who holds the victory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And to those listening, whether it's at night or during the day, I ask you a question. If you die today, how sure are you that your name would be in the book of life? How sure are you that you are ready to meet Jesus? If you're unsure, or if you feel like maybe God is calling out to you, I urge you to pray along with me. So many things in this world cost more than they're worth, but what God gives you in salvation, he gives to you freely if you believe in him. Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for what you've done for me in cleansing me of my sins, even if I didn't deserve it. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. If you were bold enough to say that prayer, I want to be the first to welcome you to God's family. For you are now a brother or sister in Christ, our Heavenly Father. I want you to know that in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. So I want you to know that right now, there are choirs of angels rejoicing over the choice you made today. And if you haven't heard it yet, I am proud of you. I also want to welcome you to Guidance Light, where our focus is God. We have multiple platforms we push daily content into, reminding you that God is in all we do. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many other platforms, and it's all free. We're looking for people like you to follow us, join us, share, comment, and just be a part of the community that we're trying to build. We also have a website where you can do things like submit prayer requests, send me emails, purchase Christian merchandise, and catch up on the latest episodes with transcripts. Our excitement to serve the true living God knows no bounds, as we are working towards fulfilling the vision he has given me. I will say this, that I am in need of your help. Yes, you, the one listening today. This channel will not go far without your support. If you can lend me a hand by sharing this content with friends and family, it would lend right into the mission God has for us. And that's to spread the good news of the salvation through Jesus Christ. This could be the moment right now that God is calling you to help. So don't ignore it. May God bless each one of you to the fullest and deliver you from whatever storm you may be going through. His trials are hard and his silence is deafening, but his grace will never leave you stranded and his voice is never as far as it seems. Thank you again, and may God continue to bless you. This is John with Guidance Light, signing out.